welcome back to the show. Second and final hour of the week. This is the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Texter here, talking about our poll question. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up. Are you a fan of the NCAA's new transfer rule where a college athlete is allowed a one-time transfer without having to sit out a year? That did pass. It's official. Personally, I don't think you should be allowed to school shop and just transfer for whatever reason, but coaches leave all the time. So I think if your coach leaves or the program goes on suspension or something, then yeah, you can transfer. Well, what do you think about, though, the position idea? Now, again, you want to be tight on this, but you can't transfer because you're worried about the running back's room. You know, oh, I'm not going to be able to compete. But if you almost lose your job, I guess that would go under coaching change, wouldn't it? That would go under a, if your coach leaves, Bobo was fired. Patrick O'Brien, essentially, kind of fired, whatever. Patrick O'Brien was Bobo's guy. And Steve Adazio comes in and he wants a completely different guy. More of a running style quarterback. I think that you should have to make your case. I don't think that you should just be able to say, hey, I am transferring. And then you enter the portal. And then teams would obviously know that you're in the portal. Then the coaches, of course, can reach out. Once you've made it official that you're transferred, I believe, right? That would be the only way. So once you enter the transfer portal, coaches, whatever, can contact you. And you can talk. But before you announce, you're not supposed to be talking to coaches, which I would imagine that's going to be happening. It's going to make things interesting. It's going to hurt CSU. It's going to hurt smaller programs. And CSU is probably going to be able to poach guys from places like UNC and such. And then CU, Power 5 schools are going to be able to poach guys. And on and on it'll go. That's the tough part. It'd be really hard to build a program if you're Colorado State football. Because you mean to tell me that, okay, some guys are just going to be loyal. You know, they came to the school because they liked the coach and they weren't getting those looks from the Power Fives. They were just getting looks from Group of Five schools. And then you hope, okay, maybe they're just loyal. They stick with it. Because Colfax, Trey McBride, the tight end for the Rams, guarantee you that dude enters the transfer portal. He's a starting tight end for Power 5 schools. No question, no doubt about it. He's a starter because this guy's probably going to be a third-round draft pick, maybe fourth next year. But he does like the new coach. He likes Adazio. He liked Bo Wobey. He likes Adazio, too. He did enter the transfer portal and then came back out. It's amazing. What was it like in there? But he did, remember? And then Adazio talked, and I didn't get the full scoop on that. We did reach out to try to get Trey McBride on. It was just tough. It was the whole year has been crazy to get guests. But he did, and then he came back. So Adazio had a chance to kind of plead his case, and apparently it worked. You got to be a hell of a salesman now. Coaches have to be anyway, but especially now. Because aren't you going to have to resell your guys every single year? You're still going to have the argument of, all right, you're a great player, but if you go there, you're going to be in a group of great players. Here, you're going to stand out, and that's going to give you a better shot. The Shaq Barretts of the world are certainly going to help schools like CSU, because then you look and go, oh, you can go to a school like CSU, less pressure, it's a smaller area, but you can still go get and be. Shaq's one of the top defensive players in the NFL. I mean, there's a lot of players in the NFL that, you know, come from CSU, CU, whatever, that are great stories for them. Like Warren Jackson, if he can go on to do some big things. Obviously, you're looking at Rashard Higgins, Michael Gallup. Those are big names that I think helps Colorado State's case. And the better they do, the more you can say, hey, you don't need to go to Alabama. You don't need to go to Florida to get into the NFL. You can come here, a little less pressure, stand out big time. I mean, Jordan Love got drafted in the first round, a Mountain West player. So, yeah, I do think that you're going to have a few issues, but I don't know. Part of me thinks that, you know, these kind of schools will still have a lot to sell. And the fact that, hey, you know, even stay here, if you leave, if you transfer, who knows? Their competition is going to be tougher. You might not start instantly. You got a starting job here. So I do think you're going to still have your selling points, so to speak. First Advantage text line 970-478-1301. Nuggets getting back at it tonight against the Houston Rockets and should win. They should take care of the Rockets. They are 8.5-point favorites around the league. Games that you need to be paying attention to, at least. The Jazz play the Pacers tonight. The Jazz, I mean, the Pacers are a 500 team. They're not bad. The Jazz are 10-point favorites in that game. Anytime you get over 10, it's like, wow. That's when you know you're a ridiculous team. In fact, Colfax, they are playing right now. They just started. Why are they starting right? Is that right? They just started that game. What else to pay attention to? My game of the week presented by Auto Taylor is also tonight. It's 5 o'clock tip. Clippers 76ers. Nuggets are 3 games behind the Clippers. So if the Nuggets can win tonight against Houston and Clippers lose, which is reasonable, the Philadelphia is a 3-point favorite, you can gain a game. You can gain 1 game on the Clippers. Elsewhere, you got Trailblazers and Spurs. I mean, you don't really want the Spurs or the Trailblazers to catch you in the conference standings because they're hanging out at that 6th spot, but they're 3.5 games behind the Nuggets. So the Nuggets are trying to pull away from the Lakers and the Blazers. It's just looking like, I mean, again, I think number 3 is still reasonable. Tonight's a pivotal moment, though. What do you have, 17 games? So tonight's pretty big. You do need to win, and you do need the Clippers to lose, and then you'd be 2 games back. Can you gain 2 games in 16? Yeah, absolutely you can. Plus, you play the Clippers. But you need to get it tighter. You need to get really close. Not knowing if they're going to catch Utah. 6 games back with 17 to go. I mean, the Jazz are 7-3 in their last 10. They have kept that trajectory up pretty much all year. Every time, you know, when you can look at the standings and look at their last 10, they're always 7-3 or 8-2 or even 9-1. Phoenix is 9-1 in their last 10. I think 3 is what you're hoping for. I don't think again, Utah could lose a string of games and Denver makes it interesting, but more than likely it's not going to go. Nuggets got a shot to do this. My whole minute is up at thewholeshow.com or on our social media page, on our Facebook page. You've got to keep seeing the growth of Michael Porter Jr. There's really no choice anymore. I was asked the other day, you know, about the difference between Jamal Murray's start and Porter's start. Is it fair to say this, that Porter's floor was much lower than Jamal's, but his ceiling's much higher? Meaning, when Jamal came in, he didn't look lost. I mean, he looked, and he also played a full year of college basketball, unlike Michael Porter Jr., and didn't have an injury that kept him out for that first year. But he didn't look lost. So he didn't look as bad as Porter, but his first full year, he never looked this good so quick. So again, I think Jamal was a decent player his rookie year. His second year started to get a little bit better. It wasn't until his third or fourth that we said, whoa, Jamal Murray's a pretty decent player. Porter now, this being his second year, we're already there. He's already rising to, you know, that top player status, not superstar status, but there's really no choice now, though. They need him to be the guy. He has to be in the step-up mode because, you know, Joker's going to do his thing, but you need another star if you're going to contend with the other teams that do have these stars. And then come playoffs, it's going to be really interesting. 14 minutes after the hour, we are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk to Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets, get his take on Michael Porter Jr. Can they catch the Clippers? And is the idea of taking number 2, number 1 seed, is that starting to get out of the question? We'll talk to Harrison next. It's The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party. Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
18 minutes after the hour. Welcome back to the show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Shout out to Fresh Coat Painters South Platte. You guys can get a free mini cooler just by calling the folks over at Fresh Coat. And a free painting quote as well. 970-414-4131. And we're going to get Harrison Wind of DNVR Nuggets on here in just a second. Talk about Nuggets back in action tonight against the Rockets. Harrison, my friend, a few days after the, of course, the terrible news about Jamal Murray's season ending, it was pretty grim there for a while. But the Nuggets, I think, for at least for one game, Harrison, made us feel a little bit better about the situation when they took it to the Miami Heat the other night.
Yeah, no doubt. And, I mean, like, Brady, they really needed that.
Yeah.
They really, really needed a win like that. Just from the events of the last 48 hours, how emotional it was. Like, it's emotional. It's tough when anybody on your team would undergo an injury like an ACL. But, I mean, when it's freaking Jamal Murray, it's just at another level. So, for the last 48 hours, yeah, they really, really needed a feel-good win like that.
How do you feel now looking, you know, you and I talked on Tuesday, I believe, when we had, when we got the news about Jamal Murray. We talked about the Nuggets' realistic chances of winning a title. And, you know, I think you even said, hey, everything's going to have to go perfectly for this team. How do you feel about that now? Even just one game, but at least it left a better taste in our mouths. How do you feel about their chances now?
I think I feel about the same that I did when we spoke a couple of days ago. I don't know if they can win a title this year with this team, how they're currently constructed without Jamal Murray, but they can make some noise in the playoffs still. They really can. And there's a belief in this team that they have within one another. There's a resilience to this team. We know that based on last season's playoff run. So they're not going to feel sorry for themselves, and they're just going to trudge on right ahead. They still have the MVP. They still have Nikola Jokic. They still have Michael Porter Jr., who has a chance to kind of step into a stardom-type role right now. They still have a lot of really good pieces. This is when Tim Connelly just stacking this team with depth is going to really show itself, because they are one of the deeper teams in the league, and they'll get a chance to show that right now. So they can definitely make some noise in the playoffs for sure. It's just that ultimate playoff ceiling, I still think, has taken a huge hit.
What do you think about the Jazz and the Suns? I'm just looking at the standings, Harrison, and where the Nuggets will be, and obviously talking about their best shot in the playoffs, their best road. The Jazz and the Suns certainly haven't slowed down much at all in the regular season. What do you think these two teams do in the playoffs? I mean, are we going to see different teams here, or should we be pretty darn concerned about both of those teams, even outside of the Lakers and the Clippers?
Well, the Jazz are just this, like, offensive machine that just scores and scores and scores and runs their stuff and runs their stuff. Now, we'll see what that looks like in a playoff environment, because, you know, I just don't think what they do in the regular season is going to translate at the level that they've done it to the playoffs. With the Suns, it's interesting because nobody on that roster outside of Chris Paul, Jay Crowder, and I guess Torrey Craig has really played meaningful playoff basketball before. So the Suns team is really, really inexperienced. I still like them, but I'd be a little nervous about them in really high leverage moments in the playoffs just because they haven't been there before.
That's such an interesting topic, too. The Nuggets were a lot like that years ago with you know, Ty Lawson, Kenneth Faried. And we thought, okay, this is a really good regular season team. But they weren't made for the playoffs. So there is a lot of truth to that. You can be a phenomenal team in the regular season, but once you hit the playoffs, I mean, it's a completely different beast.
Yeah, and we've seen that with the Nuggets. We saw it 2 years ago against the Spurs when they just kind of got shellacked for that game one, and then really three quarters of game two. And then, of course, it was Jamal Murray who turned it around in game two in the fourth quarter there. And then even a little bit last year against the Jazz in that first-round series, they were a little bit blindsided by what Utah came. But they eventually worked themselves back into the series. And that's another reason why I don't think Denver's going to be fazed by whoever they draw in the first round. It really seems like they're on a collision course with the Lakers for that first-round matchup, which is just really unfortunate. Really, really unfortunate. But it just seems like that's going to happen. And if Denver and Los Angeles matchup, look, the Lakers will be the heavy favorite. They should be the heavy favorite. They could beat Denver in six games. But the Nuggets won't be intimidated by the Lakers in that matchup because they've been there before.
Yeah, right behind the Clippers, three games back at this point. You do start getting to that point. What is there, 17 games left, Harrison? So we're at the point now where, yeah, scoreboard watching is at an all-time high. Have to win tonight, and then the Clippers play the Sixers tonight. So, yeah, there's a chance, but it's not looking much deeper than that as far as, you know, you're six games behind the Suns. You're, what, seven games behind the Jazz. Not looking like they're gonna catch the two or one spot at this point.
Yeah, probably not. You've just got to keep winning. And Denver has said they're going to push for a top four seed, push for home court advantage in that first round. The problem is the teams ahead of them, one, are just really good. Like the Suns, the Jazz, I think they're both really hot like Denver has been. The Clippers, have they lost since they got Rajon Rondo? I'm not sure. Like the last time I looked, they were undefeated. And they also have a really easy schedule from here on out. So it's going to be tough to catch those teams. Now it seems like Anthony Davis is on the cusp of a return. So he's going to help the Lakers, who really like weathered the storm nicely without LeBron and AD. So it seems like we could be in for Nuggets Lakers round one. It would be too bad, though. It would really like just be an ultimate dagger.
Yeah, you get the Lakers round one, and let's say the Nuggets do it. You know, they get past them. They can't let their guard down at that point. But again, we'll see what happens. But how do you think the rest of the NBA views that? You know, if it's Lakers, Nuggets in the first round, does the rest of the playoffs kind of feel anticlimactic after that in the second round?
If the Nuggets were to take care of the Lakers, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, then it just opens the door, I think, for, like, the Suns or the Jazz. And, I mean, like, if you're the NBA, on one hand, you probably hate that because the Lakers are, like, the NBA's baby, and the league office would love nothing more than to get LeBron James and Anthony Davis back to the finals. But for the good of the game, having a team like Denver or Phoenix or Utah make a run, I think that's a great thing for the league, getting, like, new faces in there.
I think you're right. I think this is something I know the NBA has a hard time swallowing that, but I think that you have a chance, Harrison, to probably get more of that that kind of casual fan if you're not just locking in the same guys. I mean, you know, we go on runs. Golden State dominated for a while. Then it was whatever team LeBron was on. So I love looking at the standings. It's so unique, but not seeing a LeBron-led team at number one or two, not seeing, you know, some of the favorites in the offseason at one or two, teams that we thought were going to be okay, but sitting at one and two in the West, and then, of course, Philly and Brooklyn in the East. I for one, kind of like that parity. I like seeing different teams there.
Oh, of course. I mean, it just shows you how talented this league is right now. I mean, the talent level is just at an all-time high. And Utah and Phoenix, these are two really, really good teams. They've been incredible this regular season. They play offense. They defend. They've got star power. They're both, like, really cohesive teams. They really both show what's right about basketball. They show what's right about the league right now. Like, they're kind of like Denver in that sense, where they just go about their business. They play well on both ends of the floor. They're well coached. They play together. They have good chemistry. It's like kind of like just what's right about the league.
Harrison Wynn joining us of DNVR Nuggets. Last game, of course, with the Nuggets beating Miami. Mike Malone in the post game conference talked a lot about finding the joy again. Harrison, it did kind of look like well before the Jamal Murray stuff. Those two games, the two losses that they had last week. They looked like the no calls and all that. It was starting to get to them. Mike Malone, of course, gets ejected the other night. Joker's getting frustrated. I thought that was an important statement for him to say, hey, we're trying to be happy again, because there for a while it just looked like the Nuggets were frustrated and angry.
Yeah, it seemed like they were getting fried, especially Nikola Jokic, with just, and like you said, you could tell the officiating, it was really starting to take a toll on him these last couple weeks, and it was impacting his game, which just can't happen. And this is really like two things. It comes down to Jokic right now. He's got to be the steward for this team. He's got to stay even keel through it all. He can't get too high. He can't get too low. Because Jamal Murray's not here anymore. It's really all up to him to kind of be the rock and the stabilizer for this team right now. So he's got a lot of responsibility on his shoulders. But I wasn't surprised that Denver played free and played with joy without Jamal Murray, because Now the Nuggets are the underdog again. Now they're the underdog, and that's a situation that they're very comfortable with. They were the underdog when they came back against the Jazz and the Clippers 3-1. They've really been the underdog throughout the entire Nikola Jokic era. So now that they're back in a situation where nobody's talking about them, I'm not surprised that they're comfortable and they're just kind of going to play free.
Yeah, and I'm looking back, and I know obviously Michael Porter Jr. is going to have to take it to the next level. Joker's going to have to keep being that MVP guy, but that contract to get Monte Morris, it was an amazing move anyway, but now isn't that just, I mean, just make Tim Connelly, Calvin Booth, the rest of this Nuggets organization, I mean, that was a genius move because Morris, I think, makes me at least feel a little bit better about the fact that Jamal's not there because he's not just a capable backup. I think Morris could probably start on a few teams in the NBA.
Oh, no doubt. He could probably start on, you know, maybe slightly under half the teams in the league. He's one of the better backup point guards in the league. And he is such a great plug-and-play option. Like, I don't think the Nuggets are going to be any worse off offensively in the regular season with Monte Morris in the starting lineup. I really don't. They're going to put up 120 points, you know, like every other night. They're going to run really efficient offense because Monte Morris is just that good as a link in the chain. Now in the playoffs, I'm a little worried about their offense because that Murray-Jokic two-man game is just so, so good. And that's a huge part of Denver's playoff success. And just losing that is tough. But in the regular season, Monte Morris is going to step right in there and run his team and get everybody involved. Get Nikola Jokic the ball where he needs to get the ball. Get Michael Porter Jr. the ball when he's hot. So, yeah, Monte Morris is one of the better guys you could hope to rely and fall back on in this type of situation.
Who's going to, when you look at the bench now, and obviously that's going to take Morris, put him there. When you look at this bench, finding the scoring consistently is going to be probably what's keeping Mike Malone up at night. You see Jamichael Green get 17 points against the Heat. PJ Dozier gets 15, but we've also seen kind of some inconsistencies there. Who do you think is going to be that guy off the bench that can really carry the offense for this team going forward?
I think there's a chance it's PJ Dozier. And the key for Dozier, and this has really just been the key all season, we have a nickname for him on the DMVR Nuggets postgame and podcast. We call him MVPJ because the guy's so aggressive. We know he thinks he's like a starter-level player. We know he thinks that he's a really, really good talent in this league, and he's super confident. But the key for him is just to, like, play in his role. If he plays in his role, takes the shots that he gets within the Nuggets offense, really acts as a playmaker, tries to set people up, plays selfless and unselfish basketball. That's when he's at his best. That's what he did the other night. So I think PJ Dozier has a chance to really emerge here.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting. Definitely going to need that on that side of it. Harrison, always appreciate you, man. What are you working on for us that we can check out in the next couple of days?
Yeah, well, I'm going to be writing about kind of the Nuggets taking on this underdog role again, like I was just talking about. It's a role they're familiar with. It's a role they're comfortable in, and they have a lot of experience playing in. So I think we could see Denver, you know, rattle off a lot more wins here over the next couple of weeks because, hey, nobody's talking about them, and that's when they're kind of at ease.
Speaking of that, Harrison, real quick, no one's talking about it. How about Joker's MVP race at this stage? Is he the favorite in your mind? Do they need desperately to get up to that top three spot in the West? Where are you there?
So, yeah, he's the clear favorite. ESPN did a straw poll yesterday, I believe, and he was the overwhelming favorite, Now, the only way he could lose it is if Denver really slipped. Like, if the Lakers pass them, and then if they slip to, you know, that sixth or seventh spot, then I think it gets a little dicey. If the Nuggets stay in the 4-5, I think he's a lock to win it. Even if Denver slipped to sixth or seventh, the West is so good. And if you compare the Nuggets record to some of the top teams in the East, it's just funny because it's just like, yeah, Denver's lost, like, a couple more games than the top-seeded Nets or, you know, 76ers. But if Denver stays in the 4-5, it's going to be Nikola Jokic, as it should be.
Yeah, that'd be so awesome, man. It'd be great for this Nuggets team. Really great for the state. I mean, just having somebody, and we've talked about the Nuggets for years, not getting the respect from the NBA, and maybe even teams in general in Colorado not getting respect. If you have an MVP tag to that, I mean, people are going to start turning their heads your way.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, a lot of people in this state and city have realized, which is great, but people just have to wrap their heads around that, like, Nikola Jokic is this city's Larry Bird.
Yeah.
He's going to go down as an all-time player. He's going to go down if he keeps this up as a top 20, top 25 player ever, a future Hall of Famer. People are coming to that realization, but and I can't blame him because it's tough to wrap your head around that, but this guy is going to go down as one of the greatest players in NBA history.
Yeah.
And he's this city's Larry Bird, and he's really starting to get the recognition he deserves.
Yeah, no question about it. Well said, my friend. Harrison, always appreciate your time. We'll look forward to catching up with you next week.
Sounds good. Take care, Brady.
All right, man. Harrison Wind, DNVR Nuggets. That's interesting. You know, if Joker goes on and gets the MVP, and then, you know, he's going to still have another five, assuming they get him to re-sign to another contract in the next two or three years, I would imagine. That's going to keep me up at night, Colfax, worrying about that. I was talking about Mount Rushmore the other day, you know, doing the whole Broncos Mount Rushmore. I love that debate, that topic. It's so fun because nobody's really wrong except for any opinion that's differing from mine. Does Joker have a chance to be on that Colorado, state of Colorado Mount Rushmore? John Elway's there for sure. You know, is Alex English is on there. Larry Walker. Do you have a Rocky on there? Is there a Rocky that's going to be on the Mount Rushmore? Is it Larry Walker? Even though they didn't really go to the playoffs at all.
Doesn't matter.
His stats and all that.
Yeah.
There. So you're going Elway, Walker. Is there a Nugget?
If it's
not Joker,
so.
Is there?
I think it's Jokic.
So it's already Joker.
Yeah. And then
is it another Bronco? Is it? I mean, because there's tons of Hall of Fame Broncos. That's the thing.
Probably like Joe Sakic or something.
That's a tough debate, dude.
Yeah.
Because you have Joe Sakic, you got Patrick Waugh, you got Peter Forsberg. You got Shannon Sharp, Terrell Davis, Floyd Little. I mean, if we just look at the Hall of Famers, obviously Elway. Elway's for sure there. Like, he's the for easy.
Yep.
You might go Sakic or Forsberg or Waugh. I don't know, man. Hooligans, help me out. Who's your Mount Rushmore state of Colorado between the four?
And it doesn't have to be one from every team.
It could be all Broncos if you think that those are the greatest. That's a hell of a question. John Elway, for sure. We've got that one taken care of.
So just don't even worry. Don't even put that in your list.
You've got three.
The other three.
Yeah, because if you don't put Elway there, then you don't watch sports, and you're probably a terrible human being.
Probably a Chiefs fan or something.
Probably a Chiefs fan. No Rockies? Or you would put Larry. Are you going to use up a spot for Larry Walker over all those Hall of Famers for the Broncos, and then, well, I mean, Hall of Famers for the Avs too. Patrick Waugh.
I would.
You're going to go Larry Walker?
Yeah.
I like it. I don't know that I'm going there because you got cups. You got a couple of Stanley Cups with that group.
That's true.
You know what? It's crazy. It's kind of hard for me to even put Joker up there right now.
Yeah.
He will be there if he keeps this and they can re-sign him to another contract. And if he wins a title, but I don't know, man. I think you have to have one of those Avs up there. Sakic would probably be the greatest, right?
Yeah.
Plus, he's also running things
he's
for
still
the
involved,
Avs, too.
Yeah.
So you kind of...
John Elway route.
So Elway, Sakic.
Definitely. I like Walker up there.
And you got Walker. Hooligans, where are we with this? I'm not going to put that on the website because that's one you're all going to have to enter. Mount Rushmore for Colorado sports. Who's on it? Who would be your Mount Rushmore? We'll post that up on Facebook as well. 37 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about that. That's a great, great thinking process there as far as Broncos, Avs have so many great players. We'll get to that when we come back. First, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
We got a Pillow Fight Dan sighting here. Wow. Pillow Fight Dan missed out on the battle for the David Thompson signed jersey, which maybe some are putting in their... in their Mount Rushmore. He says Elway, Sakic, Waugh, I almost said Roy, Waugh, and Vaughn. So he's got two Avs, two Broncos. it's hard not to put. Oh, honorable mention, Lindsey Vonn. Hey, that. I'm still going to go top four on that, the sports, as far as that goes. Yeah, sorry. That's where I'm going to go. Dixon says, Helton. Did you have Todd Helton on there? You're going Larry Walker's on there. I don't even know if I'm putting a Rocky on Mount Rushmore. Just because the Broncos have Hall of Famers and have won titles. The Avs won those titles with that group that we're talking about with Patrick Waugh, Forsberg, and Sakic.
Walker was just so instrumental in like solidifying the fan base for the Rockies.
Yeah, and he's a Hall of Famer
he's
now.
He's a Hall of Famer. So.
Helton will be, probably, I think. Yeah. Squeaky question mark. So if you were going to just do per sport, like one per sport, I posted a picture on our page. It's Elway, Sakic, Helton, and Alex English. Well, that's that debate about who's the greatest nugget of all time. Is it Alex English or Nikola Jokic? If we're going to put a nugget on there, like I wouldn't put a nugget on there right now. Joker goes and wins a title this year, wins MVP. He's there. Is he over Alex English if you're going to go nuggets? It's between those two. I mean, you do have Melo, David Thompson. It's not Dikembe. He didn't play long enough. Peyton Manning didn't play long enough for the Broncos. Whew. So Elway, you go Sakic over Juan Forsberg, probably.
I do.
You go Larry Walker. And then do you go English or do you go Jokic or do you go Melo? You put Melo up there, you're going to have a bunch
Melo
of Nuggets fans blow
up
half
of
the mountain.
Yeah, I want to see what these texts look like. Yeah, let's put Melo up there.
So Dixon was doing the one for each sport. See, I don't know if you go that route. It says Elway, Joker, Wah, Helton. Helton over Walker because he was an original and only a Rocky. Did play his whole career.
Yeah.
So did Elway. So did Sakic, right? Walker started and finished elsewhere. Wah over Sakic because even though Wah played elsewhere. But he was here for championships. And he's in the discussion of best goalie of all time, which is true. Plus, he coached him for a while and was okay for a second.
Well,
and
never happened.
Then that went away. probably English over Joker if you can't give it to Joker yet. Yeah, if you're doing one for each sport. See, we always talk about greatness and Hall of Fame stuff. If we're just doing greatness, it doesn't matter. It could be just one sport. I mean, it's going to be, you're going to have two Broncos in there.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise, Dixon didn't put Vaughn in that. Vaughn Miller. Okay, yeah, the Nordiques, yep, Sakic played elsewhere, okay.
Yeah, but he's still an integral part of the team.
Right, and well, do you take into account what he's doing now?
Yeah. I think so.
I do. I mean, if you're putting a Mount Rushmore together, it's people that have changed the face of your organization playing, certainly, but then if they can go on to that next level, which is very rare for your team, then Sakic to me is for sure. We got Elway and Sakic.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm definitely going that route. I got another Doug. Elway, Forsberg, Walker, and Jokic. I mean, eventually Joker gets on there. So maybe as I'm building it, I'm crafting out Elway and carving out Sakic, and then as I get done, Joker's earned his spot. So we'll put
by
him
the time
in.
You're done with that, I like that.
Yeah. this is a fun one. I think this is a really fun one. Elway, Sakic, boy, it's just difficult because you. Terrell Davis, is that a guy? Floyd Little. Floyd Little, like, you know they always say in the Hall of Fame, can you tell the story of the NFL without this guy? Can you tell the Broncos story without Floyd Little? He was the franchise. He was their first real franchise player. He brought notoriety to Denver well before Elway. So do you consider Floyd Little? I mean, that's probably not, but it's worth a discussion.
How about Eddie Mack? I mean, he's changing the face of Colorado sports.
Yeah, well, he's a head coach now.
Northern Colorado sports.
Well, maybe he advances and does so well at UNC, he goes to Denver. Ooh. And he's the next head coach. So he takes Vic Fangio's job.
then for sure.
Well, yeah, if he goes and does that. is Vaughn Miller not, is he not on this list?
It's weird we haven't even brought up his name yet.
I think Pillow Fight Dan threw him on there.
Oh, okay, well.
Is he not on this list?
Ah, dang. He's.
I mean, I'm having
a tough
time. I
think he'd be my second over a Nugget, maybe.
He would be. We got surely not Ty Cobb. Wasackick. See, he even threw an Adam Foote. Choose four. You can't, like, he's thrown out like 80 of them. Wasackick, Foote, Elway, Sharp, Davis, Mello. Choose four. Mello, I see you. Mello won't go up there, will he?
No.
He's gone. Well, he played too long somewhere else,
yeah.
I think. Steve Atwater? No. As much as I love the guy, but no.
Could Vaughn earn a spot?
If he'd go get one more, if he'd win the Super Bowl this year, and he's a big part of it, then we'll start car. Maybe we have to wait and do this next year.
All right.
Oh, we better take a break here, okay. Colfax. Mount Rushmore. Wow, that's a fun discussion. Who's your Colorado Mount Rushmore? We'll be right back.
The Live United 1310-a-thon is on April 22nd. Donate up to $100 and you could win a signed Von Miller helmet. Go to unitedway-weld.org/1310-a-thon or text KFKA, all caps, to 26989. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the block party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Who would be on the opposite Mount Rushmore, like the bad one? Jeff Breidich, Dick Monfort, Josh McDaniels, Chad Kelly. He's in his Woody costume, holding onto a vacuum cleaner or something like that. Will County Swami. Elway, Sackick, Helton, and Jokic. He's already there. Elway, Sackick, Helton, and Jokic. That's a pretty good one. Backup Mount Rushmore. Build two of them. Vaughn, Wah, Walker, and English. It's hard to argue with both of those.
Yeah.
Dixon says, I think people outside of Colorado don't even know who Little is. Well, yeah, but you're not going to have people outside of Colorado create your own Mount Rushmore. Little tells the story. You know, he does. Pillow Fight Dan, Elway Sackick for sure. Oh, he says maybe it's more of a pyramid scheme. This would have probably won Top Text Tuesday, Look at how elaborate that is.
A few days early here, man.
Elway Sackick at the top of the pyramid. Vaughn Forsberg, Wah. He's like creating his own game here. Elway Sackick, Vaughn Forsberg, Wah, Joker Walker. Hey Duke, Helton, Davis, Sharp, English, Arnauto, Foote, Vaughn, Shivrin, Billups, Hammond, Champ, Atwater. You can't just create. You're just throwing them all in there. Can't decide.
The bottom to the top. I like it.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
It's a well-built pyramid.
McLean says, Sackick, Elway, Helton, super mascot, Rocky. Can't go.
He does make those half-court shots.
He does. He's really good.
Yeah.
He's actually the best mascot, one of the best mascots ever. To be honest, I think he's one of the best ones. This is a tough one. You know, Colfax and I were brainstorming during the break, and maybe we'll put together like a tournament on our Facebook page and have people vote. So we'll get like the Broncos Mount Rushmore, the Rockies Mount Rushmore, which do they even have enough to field a Mount Rushmore? The Nuggets and the Avs, and then we'll take those Mount Rushmores, and then we'll make an ultimate Colorado Mount Rushmore out of it, voted on by the Hooligans.
And then we'll get funding and we'll actually make one
yes.
on a mountainside.
Here. It'll go next to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, yes.
We'll have it right there.
Absolutely.
I think that's a great idea. Luke says Arenado would be on there if the Colorados didn't trade him for pennies on the dollar. Elway, Patrick Waugh, Larry Walker, David Thompson. I was waiting until we were going to get a David Thompson one in there. Well, continue this conversation if you want. We have it all over our social media feeds. If you guys want to vote, would love to see it. Colfax and I are going to brainstorm this. I think we're going to put together a tournament, and we'll figure out who's going to be the Colorado Mount Rushmore. That could be pretty fun. I don't know. It is tough for me not to put Floyd Little on there. I certainly could make a case, because you don't really tell the Broncos story without Floyd Little. This team might have moved from Denver had Floyd Little not been here. They saw how great he was, and they were like, yeah, this city will support a stud player if we can get him here. This city will become a football state. Floyd Little proved that. They might have never been in Denver. Elway might have never been here if it wasn't for Floyd Little. Those are things to think about. All right, that's going to do it. What do we got here? He said, Chris, I'll read yours real fast. I want to get everybody involved here. Elway, Little, and Isabel Joker. yeah. Oh, I didn't read that last part. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Monday. Look out for our Facebook page. Maybe we'll have something up. Good night, Northern Colorado.